Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative. It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Gustina. Joining us this week is Michelle Haddon. She is the Executive Director of the New York Council on Problem Gambling, a nonprofit independent corporation dedicated to increasing public awareness about problem and disordered gambling and advocating for support services and treatment for persons adversely affected by problem gambling. NYCPG maintains a neutral stance on gambling and is governed by a board of directors. You can find out more at nyproblemgambling.org. Welcome, Michelle Haddon.
Hi, David. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
Yeah, now I'll restate that this is non-judgmental. The fact is that gambling is legal in New York State and many states, and as well online now, which I'm sure we'll get to talking about. But before we begin that, Michelle, I just want to let you tell us a little more about yourself. How did you find yourself becoming involved with this issue of problem gambling?
Sure, Dave. Well, I've been in the field actually now for about 20 years, so it's been quite a while. And I've been at the council for actually 19 years this month. So I've been working in this primarily for most of my adult career and found myself here because I came into the field as a substance use prevention specialist. And at the time, the state of New York was taking a look at the Texas Hold'em poker craze that was happening back in 2005 or six, and really thinking about, you know, the fact that prevention was needed. There was not much education happening at the time around problem gambling or raising awareness of the issue. And the state started to expand those services. And so I got kind of brought over from substance use prevention into this new field of problem gambling prevention, and really have been here ever since in multiple roles over the years, and pleased now to be, you know, here heading up the wonderful work that's being done in the state right now more than ever before.
Yeah, well, it is interesting, Michelle Haddon of the New York Council on Problem Gambling, that these areas are similar, you know, drug addiction and gambling addiction. Can you talk about that a little bit? What's the definition, for example? How do you define gambling addiction?
When we take a look at gambling addiction, we're really, you know, speaking more in general terms these days around gambling harm, and really want to make sure that people understand that anything that is causing harm in your life is something that needs to be addressed. And when it comes to gambling, we see consequences, you know, particularly around finances, around changes in behavior, impacts on the family, on work and school. You know, there's a lot that people are experiencing that may not rise to the level of a full-blown addiction or diagnosis. But nonetheless, you know, if you're experiencing harm, we want people to know that is far more common and still is something that should be addressed. So that's kind of the first thing I'll say there. You know, we are not for or against gambling. You stated that right up front. But we definitely, you know, want to make sure that people are not gambling in a way that is, you know, creating problems in their life. And if they are, then that's when we see the issue rise to the level of what we have in the past termed problem gambling, which means that people are experiencing a couple of those significant issues in their life. And then when it reaches the full-blown diagnostic level, people are, you know, meeting DSM criteria, which is a diagnosable disorder. And that really looks like, you know, chasing losses, extreme time and energy spent on the issue, you know, harms that are being experienced. And we want to make sure that if someone is experiencing any level of harm, whether that be problem or disordered gambling, that they know that services are available.
Do you have any sense from the council of how many across New York, a percentage perhaps, that are experiencing problem gambling in their lives?
The most recent statistics out of the New York State Office of Addiction Services and Supports showed that we are seeing about 5% of adult New Yorkers who are either at risk of developing a problem or who are currently experiencing a problem. The national statistics range somewhere between 1 and 5% that actually are experiencing a problem or disordered gambling, which is obviously the more extreme case. So, you know, we certainly see a significant number. I think, you know, one of the things we always want to make sure to take into account with that, too, is although, you know, we're talking about, you know, 1 to 5% or 5%, for every one person who's experiencing a problem with gambling, there's six, at least, and that's conservative, at least six other people who are being impacted by the gambling issue. And certainly we know that that can look like family members, friends, coworkers. In general, people are, this is not something that is, you know, can be isolated down to the individual.
No,
level.
It could be your landlord, right? I mean, it could be the college you're supposed to be paying tuition to. It could be so many different
things. Yep. It could be your, you know, your local treasurer at your firehouse. It could be, I mean, it's impacting communities across the board. And the World Health Organization right now has said, come out and said, this is a public health issue that needs to be addressed. And so, you know, I think while we are more concerned than ever before, at least in my 20 years in the field, we are also seeing more attention being given to this issue than ever before. And that's certainly heartening because we're seeing it, you know, at state agency level, we're seeing at state legislature level, and certainly public has been more concerned since mobile sports betting has come online than ever before. We've seen a lot of press, a lot of interest in raising awareness and, you know, where to get services. And that's, you know, very good to see that that attention is being given to the issue more than ever as well.
It also dawns on me, Michelle Hatton, Executive Director of the New York Council on Problem Gambling, that people who are experiencing problem with gambling, much like people who are addicted to drugs, in order to get that next fix, if they don't have the money, they could resort to criminal behavior.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we see definitely theft, embezzlement. You know, again, there are lots of individuals who have, you know, spoken up about their recovery from this disorder and have shared about the legal issues that they've dealt with. So it is part of this issue for some people. Absolutely.
Yeah. Can you put a face on it? Can you pick maybe one of the worst case scenarios just to let folks, listeners know who may not have experienced this in their lives, what this can do to a person?
You know, I think for me, some of the most impactful stories that we've heard over the years have certainly been, you know, the ones that there's an impact on the entire family, right? And so, you know, the story of the wife who goes to the grocery store and, you know, finds that her credit card has been declined, and that first initial digging into the finances to see that, you know, bank accounts have been drained, savings have been drained, and all the while, no knowledge that this type of addiction was happening in their own homes. So, you know, the secrecy and the shame and that surrounds someone who is struggling with this issue is just pervasive. And the ability now to hide it even more. I mean, we talk about this being the hidden addiction, right? You can't smell it on somebody's breath. You can't see them stumbling right, if they've been intoxicated. And so, you know, the idea that now, even more than ever before with online gambling, you can truly be doing this, you know, in the comfort of your own home. You could be doing this while you're at work. You could be gambling while you're at school and class. And our phones are just an extension of our bodies these days, right? So we don't know. We don't know when someone's on their phone, if they are engaged in this kind of activity and how, you know, I could be sitting next to my husband on the couch at night and he could be gambling away our life savings.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I might not even know about it. So, you know, I think, but what happens over time is from what, again, the stories that we've heard, the chasing of the losses, the devastation of the finances being gone and trying to get it back, trying to get ahead, trying to keep it hidden and, you know, move one chess piece to the other to cover. It just becomes so draining and exhausting for people who are facing this that, you know, it really, that's why we probably, you know, why we do have the highest rate of suicide of any of the addictions out there, because it just becomes too much to manage. And the shame is one of the, you know, major characteristics of people struggling with this. And we work hard to keep bringing these stories forward so that we can reduce the stigma around this issue, because this can happen to anyone. You know, it starts out as this the same way that it's promoted, right? It's a recreational activity, a harmless activity, right? That's how we promote gambling in New York State. And it is for most people. And so, you know, again, we are neither for nor against gambling, but we need to be able to show the other side of it too, that this happens to a significant number of people and it really can happen to anyone.
Yeah, you can just imagine someone who has just got such a compulsive addiction to gambling. You know, they're losing thousands and thousands of dollars, but their motivation isn't to stop. It's to double down. No, I'll triple my bet now. Then I can win it all back.
Yeah. And the catch is, right, you get caught up in the action of it too, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes it's not even about the money or what the end result of the bet is. It's that time between placing the bet and the outcome of the bet where, you know, you're really juiced up and you're feeling the energy and feeling the excitement in some cases, depending on the type of gambling, or the other way, right, where you're escaping reality. And a lot of times we see that with like slot machine players, right? And it's that moment in between placing the bet and having the outcome where our dopamine is flooding and we're feeling a physical reaction with the release of that dopamine the same way we would with substances or anything else. And so even though we may not see those results in terms of stumbling or slurring or smelling anything, we still are having the same chemical reaction inside our brains that leads really to that addiction.
So insidious. Well, Michelle Haddon, Executive Director of the New York Council on Problem Gambling, is our guest this week on the Capital Connection. I'm David Gustina. You can find out more at nyproblemgambling.org, including services and getting people help. You know, we have a lot of casinos in New York. There are casinos in other states around us. But the point is that they're buildings that you have to go to. And that takes a little bit more effort than, as we were speaking about, this new way of gambling, which is via gambling apps on your phones. I'm thinking of one particular, DraftKings, that you see now advertised all over the place, including by the sports commentators themselves on games, saying, before we tell you any more about the game, let's talk about what the odds are, you know, and then add into that young people. And this is where I'm going. This new crop of young people that, unlike at the casino, they aren't saying, come in and we'll give you $20. You know, this is right in your pocket. Here's a free bet for you at no cost to you. I mean, it's got to be a surge in young people that are gambling.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, David, the way that we primed our young people right from, you know, 3-4 years old, right, of mystery boxes at the stores, right? Like my son's 15 now. When he was coming out, the big thing was, you know, that you would go and buy these mystery boxes and you would open them. You don't know what was going to be in it for a surprise. And we started at such a young age, even with them watching other people online doing activities, right, and getting excited by that through our phones, through our apps. We've really set up that mechanism early on in their brains to be, you know, rewarded for these high excitement activities that really are no effort to them either, right? You pick up your phone, you hit a button, right? It's not the same as like when we used to go outside and have to like, you know, become an athlete and work hard at it. And then you're taking healthy risks. These are risks that are just so, there's just no energy or effort that's being put into it. And their brains are not fully developed for higher level judgment. So they're just set up to be much more at risk, even when they head into this type of activity, than adults are, right? And so then, you know, as they move towards, you know, becoming of legal age, their brains still aren't fully developed until they're 24, 25 years old. So I'm 18 years old and now I can gamble on certain things, right? And I am not still fully developed to be able to do that, you know, or 21 even, right? Because we're not fully brain developed until 24 or 25. So what we're seeing is, you know, a lot of these college age, you know, 18 to 24 range students who are really preliminary data is showing us that they are at moderate to high risk of developing a problem with gambling. And we know from studies that were done by University of Albany in 2024 that about 45.5% of college students are gambling already. You know, they're involved. And so we're highly concerned about that population, and we're doing some work to try to assess what's happening on campuses in New York State and move forward from there with plans to start to mitigate some of this and make sure students are educated, aware of the risks, because not only, you know, is it high-risk population in general, but then you add in student athletes, you add in, you know, people who are already struggling with mental health issues or substance use issues, and we see high co-occurring rates of gambling problems alongside marijuana use and tobacco use and alcohol use in that population as well. So, you know, they're bigger issues than just I'm doing fantasy sports or I'm placing a bet here or there. You know, it's something with this particular population we want to be really mindful of, the fact that they're just not wired yet to make good decisions around this.
Yeah, and when you talk about this particular youth population in gambling, I believe you were referencing You Decide NY, right? Isn't there a special service there that you have, youdecideny.org, where younger people can get help?
Absolutely. So that's one of our grants here at the New York Council on Problem Gambling. And the focus of that is for young people to become educated, for parents, community influencers, anyone who's working with youth. There are a tremendous amount of resources on that website. And, you know, as you said, youdecide.org. And we are, you know, always at the council here to provide additional support. We have both treatment programs. We have one-to-one peer support services. We work with a company called GAMFIN to provide financial counseling to anyone in New York State who needs it. So a plethora of services available regardless of age, but definitely available for this age group as they're starting to identify, you know, again, gambling harms they might be experiencing.
And I think something that people might not think about is your other services, like those where you assist industry and business leaders in developing customer and employee-based problem gambling awareness programs, including conducting workshops and conferences. But think about it. You know, this extends into your workplace, obviously. And anywhere you interact with people who could help, this is a good thing to be doing, I guess.
Yeah, I think, and just raising awareness, right? Even though, again, there's a recognition of this more than ever before, it's a loose recognition, right? Like, we know that people can develop problems and that, you know, we're seeing a lot in the media, especially right now, around some of the issues that are coming out of sports betting. But, you don't think of it always in your place of business, right? That somebody might be at their desk gambling, or if there's lost time from work, that it could be a result of a gambling issue that's happening. So I think sometimes even just having those workshops and educating people about what the issue is makes it okay sometimes for people to step forward that might need assistance, but also gives other people that knowledge they need to keep an eye out for their colleague, make sure that they know what to look for if someone that they care about is struggling. So, yeah, we do a lot of education and awareness to professionals, to community-based organizations, and we really have a plethora of staff who are experts in this and in various like niches of this as well. So, you know, if anyone out there listening is interested in education, reach out to us anytime. We'll definitely connect you with the best resource for what you're looking for.
Yeah, I really feel for parents, you know, if we stay on the theme of youth gambling, Because, you know, teenagers, that's a tough age to communicate with your teenager. And even when you try, sometimes they're pushing back and they won't divulge. And, you know, that's where a place like the New York Council on Problem Gambling can help. You know, if the kid's not going to listen to you, maybe with some other supports, you could make progress.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we're here to talk with family members at any time. We have 7 problem gambling resource centers across the state. And in those resource centers, we take calls from family members, individuals who are struggling. And, you know, sometimes people want just information from us, and we're happy to provide that or chat for a little while if again, you're struggling, and give you the appropriate resources if you are a parent, you know, on how to talk to your kids and what you can do or say or how to approach the issue. And again, we're here to connect you to services or supports, whatever it is that you need. And we have some just lovely staff who answer those calls, and their care and concern for people really shines through. So again, if people are in need, don't hesitate, regardless, even if you think it's just that you need more information or you're not sure. That's what we're here for.
For those that may not be able to do it online, is there a phone number they can call?
Our agency number is 518-867-4084. And the New York State Helpline, that's where we refer most people for, you know, connections to information or support, and they will get you to us or to the best place. And that number is 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, and that is run by the New York State Office of Addiction Services and Support.
Now let's talk about the all-important dollar, and not the gambling dollar, the dollars that are coming into the New York Council on Gambling to help with problem gambling. I mean, you're a nonprofit. I can't imagine you're rolling in dough, but are you satisfied? Are you always looking for a little more? Because as we just stated, the problem seems to be growing, especially among youth.
Yeah, no, I mean, David, I think we're never satisfied in terms of the amount of funding that's coming in, because it dwarfs the amount of money that is coming into the system from gambling revenues, right? And so we really believe that for every, you know, for every dollar that is coming in for raising revenues from gambling, we should be, you know, in some ways matching that increase for providing services. So we recommend or advocate that 1% of revenues.
Well, what is it? Excuse me, Michelle, what is it now? It must be less than that,
so,
right?
Yeah, so it varies, right? So the first time that we saw dedicated funding come to the Problem Gambling Services Fund, which goes to the New York State Office of Addiction Services and Supports, was when we had the upstate commercial casinos come online. And those casinos are required to pay $500 per machine and per table game annually that goes directly to the Problem Gambling Services Fund. Anything before that, lottery, quick draw, all of that, there's no dedicated funding that comes into the system from those types of gambling for gambling services. When mobile sports betting was legalized, there was $6 million that was dedicated to problem gambling services. And that's really where we think we would like to see 1% of the tax revenue that comes into the state being dedicated to problem gambling services, because $6 million is just peanuts compared to the, you know, what is being brought in from mobile sports betting.
And is that so, $6 million annually?
That is $6 million annually,
okay.
Yes. But it's, again, and last year, actually, Senator Addabbo and Assemblymember Warner were able to get an additional $6 million that's coming in 2027 for problem gambling services from mobile sports betting. So for that, it is now up to $12 million, which, again, great to see the increase coming. Appreciate their efforts so much. But, you know, just more needs to be done. We still don't have statewide prevention services for problem gambling specifically.
Really?
Yeah, we don't. We are working to educate prevention providers across the state, and we're partnered with OASAS in doing that. And those prevention providers do go out and do some education in their communities to raise awareness. But it's not the same as having a comprehensive public health approach to this issue like we do with other issues. So much more is needed. I mean, the public awareness campaigns need to be more comprehensive. They need to be, you know, niche marketed to, you know, specific target populations and groups so that we can really start to, you know, get to the heart of what matters to each individual group, right? What matters to a 7th to 12th grader is not the same as what matters to an 18 to 24-year-old, which is not the same as what matters to a 55-plus, right? You know, and so we need to be really comprehensive about the way that we're approaching prevention across the lifespan. And we don't have the funds to do that right now. So we'll, you know, we'll keep advocating for more. The three new downstate commercial casinos, if all three of those licenses come to fruition, their dedicated funding is $750 per machine or per table game. So that will mean that there's more money once those are up and running, coming to the state for problem gambling services. So the funds are continuing to grow, and they have been, like I said, since the first four upstate commercial casinos came online. But we certainly think that, you know, additional funding continues to be needed for us to, you know, scale to meet the needs, you know, as gambling opportunities and availability is growing, so should the services that are available alongside.
Yeah, well, I've got some questions for some legislators now, Michelle Haddon, after talking to you. It sounds like a drop in the bucket, no matter how much more money gets in there. And it certainly was part of the pitch when the casinos wanted to come here that they would provide gambling services. So we'll just have to see. She is Michelle Haddon, Executive Director of the New York Council on Problem Gambling. You can find out more at nyproblemgambling.org. What a pleasure. Thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us on the Capital Connection. I hope you'll come back again to give us an update in the future.
Likewise, David. I appreciate you having us. And again, thanks for the attention to this important issue.
Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative.